And verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him and he says, "Be patient with me," he begged, "I will pay back everything." Well, that's nonsense. He couldn't pay back. How is he going to pay back millions and millions and millions of pounds? He just can't do that. His debt is incalculable and he's just pleading for mercy, and the Lord has mercy on him. Hence the merciful king. He took pity on him. He canceled the debt, even though it's an enormous debt, and let him go. Isn't that nice? Now, this parable as a whole, the parable of the unforgiving servant, I don't think it's intended to be a parable about salvation. I think it's a picture primarily of the ethics, if you like, of the kingdom of heaven, how the citizens of the kingdom of heaven are supposed to live. But nevertheless, there is here something which conveys a picture of God and ourselves. We owe God a debt we can never repay because of our sins. And God, out of compassion, looks upon us when we come to him and say, "Lord, have mercy." And he does have mercy, cancels the debt completely, and releases us. So that, in some ways, is a picture of God. Oh, I've got a frog in my throat. Excuse me. Hopefully that's drowned the frog, sort of. So there's that kind of picture, and we can take some comfort from that. We think the debt that we owe God is incalculable, and he is so compassionate. He has mercy on us and forgives, cancels the entire debt of our sins. And then Jesus, as he so often does, spoils the story. Okay, that's very nice, and we can feel kind of comforted and reassured in what that tells us of what God is like. But then part two of the story, the unforgiving servant, and hence the title of the parable. But when that servant, the guy that owed millions of pounds, okay, when he goes out from the king's presence, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, a few pounds. And he grabs him by the throat and began to choke him. It says, he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." That's what he just said to the king. "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. This really spoils the story, doesn't it? We've got a wonderful picture. Of this merciful king and what that says to us about God. And then we have this guy who goes and grabs the fellow servant, tries to strangle him, and says, "Pay back what you owe me." And when the guy can't, he has him thrown into prison until he should pay the debt. That is quite shocking, isn't it? How can it possibly be that someone who has had such a massive debt completely erased because of the mercy and compassion of the king should be so lacking in compassion to this fellow servant? How is it that somebody who has received so much forgiveness should not be prepared to extend forgiveness to this fellow servant? Well, commentators get themselves tied in knots about this, and some of them say, "Oh well, the unforgiving servant can't possibly be a picture of a Christian. He just can't be to do this. This proves that he can't possibly be a Christian." Well, the first part of the parable, I think, is a picture of salvation up to a point where God, in his mercy, cancels our debts completely as we ask him for forgiveness. And surely, somebody who's had all their debts cancelled by a merciful God has got to be a Christian. I think this is a picture of a Christian. Are you trying to tell me that some Christians can't be nasty? Okay. Are you trying to tell me that, well, a Christian could never be unforgiving? A Christian could never be somebody who's so hard-hearted and would never forgive in the way that he's been forgiven? I think Christians can be like that, don't you? I think you can be like that. I think I can be like that.